Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Scott Hartnell is going to join the show at 12:30. A last gasp tonight for the Flyers trying to make the postseason. Daily Mock 1 hour from now with a guy that's pretty plugged in. We'll tell you who has the Eagles taking 1 hour from right now. And, of course, a lot to discuss here between the Phillies lineup. Is this actually a good lineup? And do you fear Jimmy Butler? Plus, should Jack's name be on the afternoon show? I mean, there's a lot of debate going on around here as the new afternoon show starts today with Spike and Jack and Mike this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Very excited for those guys.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, very excited for Spike to be back here. It's just going to be awesome having him, and that show is going to be great. No matter what they call it, it will be a great show. Hopefully, a week from now, we have a great draft pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. And there's been a lot of chatter around here, Hugh, about offensive line. Would it be smart to draft an offensive lineman in the first round? Ross Tucker this morning was on with DeCameron Ritchie talking about that and kind of an interesting perspective from a former offensive lineman on what it would mean if they took one.
I think on some level, let's just be honest, guys. If they take an offensive lineman in the first round, on some level, they're admitting that Steen was not a great high third round pick.
I would agree with that.
And that's okay. You know, third round picks, you can't, I mean, people want all these guys to start, all these guys to be good players. There's a bunch of third round picks in the NFL that never play a snap. We lose sight of that a lot. That's okay. If Steen is Jack Driscoll, if Steen is the backup guard tackle for the next 3 years on a rookie contract, there's still some value there. It would just be to me, I mean, he was a high third round pick. It'd be a little bit disappointing if that's the route that they go. I do think Steen could start at right guard. I guess it's interesting. I wasn't there every day. I just go based on what we saw in the preseason and those snaps he got. But it doesn't feel like we're hearing the same type of buzz about Steen behind the scenes.
Well, that's true. We're not. It's not like Steen is being talked up. And I think that's why there's a lot of people out there that think they're going to take an offensive lineman. Hugh, I think it would be smart to take an offensive line for a couple reasons. One, I'm unsure of Steen. That's a big hole in the offensive line. And two, this is what they draft early in drafts. Like, sometimes you kind of got to do what you do well, right? Every organization kind of does something well.
Go to your bread and butter.
Yeah, like the Steelers develop linebackers and receivers and whatnot. Like, the Eagles, in the last 30 years, I would guess, without looking it up, 75% of their first-round picks have been offense or defensive line, then maybe with some quarterbacks thrown in.
That's been kind of the staple of the Philadelphia Eagles over the years.
I think it's smart if they are unsure at right guard, and obviously we know that Lane isn't young, that they take a player that could play now at guard and then eventually maybe move out to tackle when Lane is on. I'm not going to get upset next Friday when we come on the air if they take an offensive line.
I'm not going to get upset either, but I think that when you look at – and it also validates for me where I think – or what I've been saying since I've been here. Luxury, not a necessity.
Oh, offense?
Yeah.
And defense?
I mean, defense. Defense is luxury, not a necessity. And it, if you're going out to get somebody that you're talking about potentially not playing this year, then that to me is, like, I don't have a problem with offensive linemen, but when you look at some of the other holes, it just kind of validates my parking sticker when I think about how this team feels about this defense.
They don't prioritize it. I mean, obviously they do not. Look, I would prefer defense. I think that's where they should go. If they end up on an offensive lineman, it's probably going to work because that's what the Eagles do and have done for a long time, and they prioritize it, and they keep the pipeline going here. Kyle, of course, does not think this would be a smart idea.
Yeah, I'm the only one with a brain back here.
How it goes to straight personal attack.
Well, it is. This is getting ridiculous. The Eagles have put themselves in a position where they have a major need on the back end, the secondary, the cornerback position specifically. I'm going to use a phrase that I don't think anyone would ever think would be associated with an offensive lineman. Luxury pick. The Eagles have a set offensive line. They don't need to spend the 22nd pick on a depth piece, a guy who may or may not start at guard, and a guy who may or may not be eventually able to take over for Lane Johnson, what, 2-3 years down the line? We have 2 second-round picks, and I don't know. I feel like that's where the Eagles, like, you mentioned that this is what the Eagles do. They draft offensive linemen high. Not very successfully, except when they had Lane Johnson, who was the number 4 overall pick. Like, their history drafting at this spot, offensive line, has been bad. Actually, their most success drafting these offensive linemen has been with Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, both second-round picks.
Yeah, later.
Later picks. On. I mean, they have Jeff Stoutland here. They don't need to waste a 22nd overall pick on a guy who might not even be starting in year one. In a year, they're in a Super Bowl window right now. They need guys who can come in and contribute immediately and make impact, be playmakers.
So, but you said they have the offensive line set. I don't know if that's the case. I have no idea if Tyler Steen's going to be able to play well. Yeah, he started one game.
He's not your left tackle. He's not the center.
I understand this is the guard
we're talking
about.
But
one spot on the offense, you know, the weak link could be exploited. One player could make the whole thing from really good to maybe not really
good. Why do I need to use the 22nd overall pick on that guy? We can use a second and a fourth on, if we really want to load up the depth on this offensive line, we can use our mid to late round picks. I need a guy in the first round who is going to make immediate impact on a team that can win the Super Bowl this year.
It's a good chance that he can make an immediate impact. And I still think, even if they took an offensive lineman, I still believe that they're in their Super Bowl window by some of the offensive weapons they've acquired so far.
You're not going to be in a Super Bowl window if James Bradbury starts at corner.
Well,
you're just not. Sorry.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But guess what? We're also you're not going to get the return on the Saquon Barkley investment if the interior of the offensive line isn't as good as we think it is. Like, they lost Jason Kelce this offseason. We poo-pooed this like an all-pro and walk out the door. I don't know if Cam Jurgens is going to be a very good center. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, you know what they knew what they did. They took Cam Jurgens to replace him in the second round.
They did.
Right.
But he's a quite you said.
Yeah, and he's been he's more of a proven veteran. Now, since from the time that
I mean, barely. Like, look,
he hasn't played center, but he knows.
I'm not saying he's.
Are we positive this is going to be a tremendous offensive line? Right now, I am not.
I think they're going to be good.
I got 3 guys that I know right now are going to be good. That's 2 spots that I. You could tell me right now Cam Jurgens is an average center, and I say, okay. Or you could say he's really good. I don't know yet.
They have.
And I don't know at right guard. So if there's a chance to get a top-level player in the first round, I think that's a smart idea.
The worry is the right guard spot. They have Tyler Steen. They have Matt Hennessy. And let's add a second-round pick who can compete for that spot.
Matt Hennessy is definitely
Like, you might have 3 capable bodies to compete for that right guard spot. That's perfectly fine with me. Why am I using a 22nd overall pick on that?
Well, there's also not much depth here. So you're saying the compete, well, what if someone else gets hurt? Then we're down to Matt Hennessy starting and Fred Johnson.
But it's a luxury pick because we're talking about depth.
Well, that's fine. I mean, but you need that. It's the most important unit on the team outside the quarterback.
It's a luxury, not a necessity.
I'm telling you right now, we could pay all these receivers and all these running backs. It's not going to work if the offensive line isn't upright. It's not going to work.
This is all going to be predicated on what our quarterback does.
But like, he needs time.
He does need time, and I think that this offensive line is going to be good enough to give him this time. But, would I like a first-round draft pick to be a defender? Somebody that's going to come in and play immediately, yes, I would. But I would not have a problem with offensive linemen if they pick one.
Yeah, I think it would be. So my preference is defense, but the next smartest pick would be offensive line. They need it. They have a lack of depth there. I have a question mark at right guard. There seems to be this whole thing like anti-offensive line now, as if the Eagles don't build through the offensive line.
Well, it's a lot of times, and a lot of teams, their philosophy is, you know, if you want a good offensive line, you go get that from somebody else's squad. Like, a lot of times. That was kind of like the philosophy for the Atlanta Falcons. The only one they took was that he was there for a long time. Can't think of his name. His dad played
Matthews,
a long time. Jake Matthews.
The Eagles have done the opposite here. They drafted Mailata. They drafted obviously Dickerson, Kelce, Lane. I mean, they had some guys that brought in like Brandon Brooks a couple years ago, more than that now. And he was great for a period of time. But I wouldn't be angry. I won't be upset if they get offensive lineman. I think it'd be a smart pick. Kyle, of course, thinks not. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines. A lot to discuss here. Lamar in West Philly talking Jimmy Butler. What's up, Lamar? Lamar, you with us, pal? Lamar go once. Lamar goes back on hold.
Sounds like he was in the car on his blinkers.
I did hear that. Bill's in Vineland. Hey, Bill.
Loud ass blinkers.
What's up, Bill?
First comment is on the name, new show. I think Spike and Ike with Jack.
Spike and Ike with Jack.
Yes.
Okay. That's simple, easy. So you like Spike and Ike, and not Ike and Spike? You like the Spike first, then the Ike?
I think Spike sounds better than. I mean, not no offense, not.
No, no, no. No, I think you're right. It's all about the sound. We're just looking for the best sound here.
Yes. And I think that the Sixers, you can't play nobody scared. You got to recognize everybody knows Jimmy Butler is a good player, but you just got to make him work. You got to recognize how good you've been playing lately and what your team doing, all the shooters you have, but you can't play a game scared.
Bill, I agree with you on that. You cannot. Now, I don't expect them to be scared, and Bill, good phone call. I'm scared. Like, I'll be the fraidy cat. I'll be the baby. I'm scared of Jimmy Butler.
Fraidy cat.
Yeah, look, I don't expect Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey to feel afraid of Jimmy Butler tomorrow night. They shouldn't. They're competitors, and I hope they're ready to go, and I think they will be ready to go. And they have a championship coach, and they've won 8 in a row, and they're at home. They shouldn't fear the Heat. I'm going to fear Jimmy Butler.
Because you're looking at Jimmy Butler's past, and then you're looking at Joel Embiid's past.
Well, even now, Jimmy Butler had a career high in three-point percentage. He's still playing at a high level.
No, he is. Jimmy Butler, he's a beast. In the playoffs, Jimmy, like the way he's wheeled teams that he's been on into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think we have the better player. The better player on the court is Joel Embiid.
But that doesn't mean you win the game. I mean, everyone's been telling me Joel Embiid's the best player on the court in a lot of playoff series. He doesn't win those series.
No, but I think this is different. And to Howard's point, I didn't say Joel Embiid is a leader. But I do believe that the guys that they're playing with, they're going to defer to him and make sure that, you know, there's no going to be a discussion about who is going to be the guy that the straw that stirs the drink. Mm. And that's why it's going to be a better fit for everybody, because everybody's going to gravitate towards him. He's like the sun, and they're all like the planets evolving around him a little bit.
Well, and you know, he's had a tremendous season, and he's come back and he's played at a higher level than I thought. I'm not worried that Joel is not going to play a good game tomorrow night. Now, will it be good enough? I hope. I mean,
I think it will be.
They're favored by 4.5 points. They should win the game. It's Butler, and the Sixers. I'm not sure how they defend him tomorrow night. They don't have a player that matches up great with Jimmy Butler.
I think it'll probably be like just off the top, maybe a combination of Tyrese and maybe
I don't want Oubre. Tyrese guarding him. I mean, I guess Oubre size-wise fits, but they don't have the right guy. I mean, so De'Anthony Melton would make the most sense, but he's had back issues. I don't know how much he could give them. It's a weird matchup where I think Jimmy's going to be able to get his stuff. I mean, get his points. I mean, he's going to be able to get 30 if he needs to get 30. It's a matter of the Sixers being more efficient, not turning the ball over, and outscoring them. 215-592-9494. All right, on the subject of this draft situation here with the Philadelphia Eagles, both you and I think an offensive lineman would be a smart pick in the first round. My preference is defense. I think offensive lineman would be smart. This was interesting from Derek Gunn here, talking about the idea of what kind of players are they going to take, and are the Eagles looking for players that could play right now, or are they just looking for the best prospect? Here's D. Gunn.
There's no audio.
Oh, sorry about that.
I gave you an article.
I'm sorry about that. All right.
I was about to say, we about to talk with D. Drop some signs.
I got the quote. That's on me. All right.
What is wrong with him?
Quote. I will tell you.
It's the day back. He just got back.
Well, no, there's a little discrepancy. It's on me. That's my bad. On me.
I'm sitting here like, I'm like, is he about to set up a
con? I will tell you this from what I know. This is a quote from D. Gunn. I will tell you this from what I know from talking to people on the inside. The first couple of picks they draft this year, they want players that could come in and play now. They don't want project players. They have a lot of room. There's a lot of jobs wanted for that defense.
Ooh.
You like that?
Yeah.
I don't.
Because you know why? It plays into this narrative I've been trying to tell y'all folks about the whole time I've been here. Let these young Thundercats play, man. Let them play. Why are you looking at me like I'm good and crazy?
Because if you're looking for players to play right now, I think
you're asking
for trouble.
You think it's a bad scenario?
Well, you're asking for trouble. I think the Eagles should be looking to draft the best players for the long term, not just for this year. I mean, guys, we got a head coach on the hot seat, and we're going into a season with a lot of question marks. I think you pass up good players for the future if you're worried about today. Like, you want ideally both, right? A guy that could come in and then get better and better. I just hope they don't draft someone for need for this year, and then we pass up on a player that might be better down the line.
I don't think at 22. Let's talk about this 22nd pick for a minute. I don't think at 22nd that you're actually reaching for a player. I think you're going to get a good player. Say, for instance, like I've said, I don't have a problem if they get an offensive lineman at that position, because at that pick, because I feel like there's going to be an opportunity for him to contribute if they decide to go that route. I would not have a problem with that, because I've been kind of looking at this the way that D-Gun's been hearing it the whole time. Like, whatever you do, if you pick a player that high on this team, they're going to have to contribute immediately. But now let's switch it to the defensive side of the ball. Say if they took a corner at that position. It's a corner that's going to – I think it's a consensus that says that he's going to probably play immediately when you talk about the Bradbury situation. So that I'm okay with that.
Sure.
Defensive tackle. You talk about the fact that Fletcher Cox has retired, and we need a little bit more pass rush presence in the middle, not knowing what this defense is going to look like up front. I have no problem with that. Pass rusher, same thing. Like, the more pass rushes we have, the better this team is going to be. I would even venture to say with those first three picks, Joe, that we're probably going to have some guys out there that are going to be immediate contributors.
Well, you would think, yeah. Asking rookies to play a lot is not – it's not a great strategy. It's just rare that rookies play a lot on championship kind of teams.
Yeah, but it's the new norm. I mean, it's starting to be – more prevalent in the NFL, and that's what you had to do. I look at this team like this, Joe, and I've been trying to
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Play all this for weeks. This team is going to live and die with your quarterback. I think Warren Sapp said it when I sent y'all that video that nobody even acknowledged or talked about.
It was the weekend.
I get it. I understand.
I watched it.
But it was like he told you, defenses nowadays don't matter like they used to. It's your $100 million quarterback. You go out there and you ask him to win you football games.
Yeah, but if everyone has a $100 million quarterback, isn't it going to go back to the defense then?
No, it goes to the $100 million quarterback. Like, listen.
But all these quarterbacks are good.
We gave Jalen Hurts $250 million. You know what they told Jalen Hurts this year? Better get it done. Like, they didn't say you better get it done, but they were like, they said it probably nicer than that. We would like you to get it done because we went out and got you a running back. You know, you got the two receivers. I remember having a conversation with somebody, and they kept telling me that there's never been two receivers on the team that made $100 million. Well, guess what? That dog hunting now. We have that. We've had that now.
Yeah, they do.
So everything has changed. So all of that, I say all that to say this. This is on Jalen Hurts this year, whether it's fair or not. And I know that there are probably some people in the car listening right now talking about, it's not fair because we didn't do nothing to this defense. Because you gave your quarterback all the money. You gave your receivers all the money.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that. They've invested all the money on offense.
Yes, and so this offense has to, on average, you know, they have to score about 30 points a game, Joe. 30.
I think there's a better chance they average 30 points a game than the Phillies average six.
I knew it was coming.
Let me let me throw this stat at you. Shio Kapati had this. Really interesting. Last 5 years, only 37.2% of drafted rookies played 300 snaps in their rookie year. So roughly that's 17 snaps per game. So 37%. So the Eagles have three picks in the first 53. If this average holds, only one of them's going to play a decent amount of snaps as a rookie. Now, the Eagles might force them out there. But the point is, that's why I don't want to just draft for need. I need to draft for, you better think the player is going to be great down the line. Like, I think we're approaching this. If the Eagles are approaching this, they got to find starters in the first round or two for this year, not future starters, but this year. That's looking at it a little wrong to me.
I don't look at it the way that you're looking at it, but I understand. I think that when you draft, like with that first pick, I look at it like this, Joe. Say if we took a corner. I'm looking at that corner to be projected to be at least a 10-year starter, like in their minds. Now, we don't know, you know, injuries happen, all these X factors. But I look at it like they're drafting that guy to be
here a long time.
I mean, that's how you look at it. That's how I look at it. And anybody that you get after that is a plus.
Well, that's why I'm not so worried about just filling a need for this year, because it's a long-term play. If you get it right, you got a guy for a long time that hopefully could help you. That's why I'm not going to just squeeze a player in because we need it now. I think that's how you make mistakes like Rager over Jefferson. They wanted a speed guy. They wanted a slot guy instead of just taking the best player.
This is where, like, for Howie, he needs to clean up that blind spot, because you're talking about being in a position, in a situation where you better hit on that first pick. He has to come out. And he has to flash in training camps. He has to flash almost immediately, because you're probably going to be in a situation. Like, if we got a corner, we all know that guy is probably going to be the starter. So he has to be one of those guys, Kool-Aid McKendry or the young Cooper DeJean or somebody like that. He has to be out there, and he has to be contributing immediately. And the coaching staff has to do everything in their power to get them up to speed. That's why when I tell stories about my first year in the league, man, like I was starting probably game 5, 6, but I was rotating in. Like, I was rotating in at the beginning of the season because there was an immediate need at that position where I had to start. So I remember it was Donald Evans was the starter, but I would start to rotate into the games and everything. And that's why Sugar Bear, my coach, set me down every day and made sure that I knew what I was supposed to do and taught me the defense, because there was an immediate need for me to play at 16, at the 16th pick.
Right.
And Kyle Brady was already, like, when they drafted Kyle Brady, he was already out there. So he was the starter, like, along with Johnny Mitchell, because he was the other tight end. So he was integrated into that offense almost immediately, and they had to bring me along. That's what coaching does, man. We didn't have that. And I feel like I feel strongly about that. No, it wasn't Rich. No, yeah, Rich was the coach, and then it was Parcells. You're right. I was thinking the defensive coordinator was Jim Vicarillo, but we didn't have that. We didn't have that last year as an Eagles team. We didn't have good coaching, man. So I'm looking at Coach Nonet, Coach Hurt, and all them guys. Whoever we decide to get in the defensive room, who's coaching them DBs up, you have to get these guys ready to play. And if that means you have to work a little bit extra to do that, then damn it, so be it.
Well, they got it,
because we're in a Super Bowl window. We're in a Super Bowl winner.
With this defense?
Yes. And this team, this quarterback. This quarterback has to be coached hard. Like, I'm not, like, regardless of who we get, the mission for me hasn't changed. Super Bowl or bust. I'm trying to get to New Orleans, man. It's not about me. I'm not trying to make it sound like
it sounds like it's about
you. It's not. It's not. But I'm just saying, it's a Super Bowl or bust.
So I hear you keep worrying about this defense, Joe,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I think we all agree they need a corner.
Yes.
What do you think the Eagles have a better chance of hitting on? A corner in the first and an O-lineman in the later rounds, or the reverse, an offensive lineman and then a corner in the later rounds? What do you think the Eagles have a better chance of hitting on successfully?
Well, I mean, probably, just based on the way you framed it, probably the corner early, offensive lineman later. But they also haven't taken a corner in a long time. Their evaluation of corner stinks.
Yeah.
It stinks.
So then why are you going to make it harder on it? Their evaluation of offensive linemen
is a lot better. Because I want to get the first-round pick right. So, like, if you tell me, what do you trust them to pick more? I trust them to pick an offensive lineman. I want a corner. I mean, I've told you, Cooper DeJean is the guy. I've been trying to tell you. Cooper DeJean is the guy they should take there. I'm imagining Mitchell and Arnold are off the board. So now we're going down to the third corner or safety, whatever you think he is. I'd go with him. 215-592-9494. We'll get to everyone's phone calls here. A lot to discuss between the Phillies lineup. Just feels average to me. It feels like we keep waiting for it to be good. I think it's going to end up average. Pitching's going to carry the day. is this a good lineup that we actually have with the Phillies? And let's get set here on this side for tonight, the last gasp for the Flyers. Scott Hartnell's going to join us. What do the Flyers need? What does he expect? And what does he think of this season, even if they don't make the playoffs? 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Bet the NBA play-in tournament. No sweat same-game parlay for FanDuel. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay doesn't win on any Tuesday night NBA matchup. NBA same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. All right, in the West, I like the Lakers, and I like the Warriors to both win. Give me the over in the Lakers game as well. However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.